Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Well, happy Halloween, everyone. Happy Thursday. Thank God for another day of being here, another chance to get together and chat it up. Well, I want to know that all of you are out there being safe. Parents, I know we don't have to tell you this, but you know we have to check our kids' candy because everybody gets ridiculous. And you don't know what kind of crazies you're dealing with. Today is a day that brings out all of the crazies in the midst of the fun. So let's just hope that, you know, everybody can get through tonight and just be able to have the fun of it. Okay. Shout out to Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York. Currently with iSoulRadio.com, you can hear Barry spin his DJ magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he's gracing New York with his R&B events all over some great venues in New York, hooking up with the greatest of people and performances as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. With that being said, I want to say thank you to the Real World Black News and Discussions group that's out there on Facebook, because they have definitely been actively involved with helping us keep some topics and communities together. One of the other things that they have done is really given us some great insight in knowing what it is that you listeners are thinking out there about our topics and what it is that they believe is their viewpoint on the situation. So I want to thank them very much for constantly and continuously supporting us in that endeavor. To my team, Monster Miles, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Deacon Zeddy Williams, and DJ Dome Wrecker Rodney Williams, for being an awesome, awesome collaborative people that is out there helping this continue to move on. I want to thank all of the new callers that have been calling in, all of the panelists that have been on here, both the veterans and the newcomers, because you guys have been making this show special and our mission to be what it is. Now, today we are going to be taking a page out of our politics chronicles today. And we are going to be actually talking about a particular article that Mayor Bloomberg has written stating that blacks are being falsely led to believe that Obama is a friend. Okay, the issues back and forth with about Obama have stemmed from so many things, from things with his race, things with the fact that he's not a Republican. There's been many of other things going on. And on the other hand, Bloomberg has not really done a thing, in my opinion, to have the right to point any political fingers at anybody else's method of operation. So this is what we're going to be speaking about today. And my question is, has people of today's society have taken politics to a point that it's not just about politics anymore? People are getting personal with each other when it comes to politics. Do you think that that's happening now? Do you think that people are forgetting how to be objective with the blanket generality of things, the way politics once was set up? Yes, there are some personal issues and agendas that have to be addressed, but politics in itself is supposed to be one mass thing that deals with everybody and whatever is individually needed per state, per community, per need should be tweaked in the process. People are taking it to the point where they're starting to fight each other. So I want to know if all of you are feeling that that particular characteristic has been heightened nowadays. So I'm going to go out with Ice, Mies, and Occupy. When we come back, we will get this discussion started. Don't go away. Be back in 5 minutes.
Oh!
it's alright.
Okay.
We the people and we out here struggling, but that is the why we are.
But I pay taxes and hustle on these blocks just to make back it. See, I voted for a change and it ain't happened. Still can't get a job, so I'm back at it. I guess this is where we came to, where senators get paid more than teachers do. They taxing every item when we buying food, and they still don't give it back to the schools. But they give it to the 1%, cause we give it to them banks when we paying rent. Working hard in the end ain't making sense, so we gotta sell dope, that's the way it is. And that's how I feel inside. United for a cause, it don't hurt to try. I'm speaking for the people worse off than I. And that's why we occupy.
Why we occupy? 99 just out here striving, and the ones on the hill just smiling. It ain't right, so we fight. Damn strong, cause it's alright. We the people and we out here struggling. Is that answer why we occupy?
Greed is a drug, we in this world full of hatred like there's no need for the love. Bills on the tables, jobs ain't calling. My people fed up, try to find a way to resolve it. And it's crazy how they keep trying to tell us to blame the White House. We don't do something about it now, then it's lights out. People starving, they can't even feed their kids. Media lying to us, they deceiving us with fears. Damn, and I can say I'm trying to take us out. And I wanna say we survive, but I can't escape my doubt. That's why we gotta rise as one, come together and unify. Either we try or we done. We the 99%, so majority rules. If you only look at the news, you got the stories confused. Yeah, we really out here striving for a better way. Better life, we better pay. And it's a shame that they just wanna see us perish. Watch us all ride away in embarrassment. It's appearance, so much shedding in this world. Wonder why we can't share. If you view it how I view it, they motive is transparent. They won't control money and power without respect. And they don't care who they kill, long as they get in the check. So I'm speaking for the people worse off than I. And that's why we occupy.
Why we occupy? 99 just out here striving, and the ones on the hill just smiling. It ain't right, so we fight. Damn strong, cause it's alright. We the people and we out here struggling.
Great.
Yeah,
say everybody missed the good old days. Then he asked me, when was the good old days? We always been paycheck to paycheck, struggling and hustling, just making sure the fam set. They giving everybody freaking bailouts. Then my city went bankrupt and hellbound. Money went down, so the crime went up. Now I'm trying to aspire till my time is up. The people got sick and tired of being hopeless, so we set up shop, demonstrated and posted. Tear gas, my eyes still open, train still rolling, full speed smoking. Shut ports down so the world no joking. Just trying to get that word out, but we need one voice to organize the noise. This what can happen when you give us no choice.
Why we occupy? 99 just out here striving, and the ones on the hill just smiling. It ain't right, so we fight. Damn strong, cause it's alright. We the people and we out here struggling. And that is the one we are.
Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and that was a young man who made a record that was a pretty deep and positive message about the Occupy movement and a few other things going on in the communities that needs to be addressed, and the title of that song is called Occupy. Okay, so we're going to get into talking about the situation now. What I felt the need to discuss this with is that there was an article posted on Facebook about from Bloomberg, saying that saying that blacks are being falsely led to believe or falsely believe that Obama has made their life better. First of all, I found that to be a bit damn audacious, considering that how can somebody debate what a person feels? And if these people believe that their life has been better with Obama, who are you to say that it hasn't? Okay? On the other hand, let's take it off of the belief situation and let's speak about things on the level. I'm a New Yorker. I voted for Bloomberg back in 2011 when excuse me. Sorry, I voted for Bloomberg back when the 9/11, that's what I meant to say, attacks took place. I was caught up in him fast-talking everybody while the debris was falling, and he wanted to let everybody know that he was such a New Yorker with passion that he wanted to, you know, just be your mayor and bring New York back together without taking a dime or a dollar for political salary. You're a billionaire. Not like you were going to lose out much anyway. But of course, when you're in the middle of anger and grief and fear and shock and confusion, what sounds softer is where you'll go. And I say that to this day. Now, what I have seen Bloomberg do is pretty much bribe his the Constitution around you. We break the laws of absolution when it came down to political rules about how a mayor should serve and how long they should. He bought a term and found a loophole in our absolute law in Congress to make it happen and buy himself a third term. I've seen him clean up New York, but to his personal benefit, not to solve the problem, but to get it out of sight, out of mind. He has taken human people that had no place to go and cleaned them up from the subways. That way anybody coming in from the outside with financial gain to give or people who were considered elite wouldn't be inconvenienced with the human garbage, in a sense. I've seen him tell every bar owner, restaurant owner, every sports arena, everything, how they can't have people smoking in the bar, how they can't have people smoking within a certain amount of feet somewhere, that people can no longer have smoking lounges or smoking sections in their area, how people are not allowed to buy drinks past a certain ounce and the whole nine because he felt that that's what he liked about life. That's what he wanted life to be like. So he didn't get into the office to do things that were politically correct. He did things in the office that were Bloomberg personally correct. So now to have this man write an article to try now to tell people how to feel or that they are feeling incorrectly is stepping a little bit over any rights that he has, politically or otherwise. But what prompted me to start this subject tonight is that the reactions that people were having in a so-called healthy debate was a little ridiculous. I've seen people, they debate heavily and passionately because, yes, politics is a passionate thing. It's individual to the point of certain issues that affect the whole. Is you're a part of the whole that it affects. For example, disability, health care, things to that effect. Those things, everybody has a part in it. Okay? Those of us that have more money may not have to worry about certain types of health care. So I'm saying because you can afford it. But for those of us that can't and are disabled and certain insurance policies are needed to cover something we can't do, then yes, to that point, politics becomes a direct at me personal issue. That is a political issue that affects me. But when it starts to become a thing where people are starting to call each other bad fathers or poor or you're this and you're that and you're this, it's not supposed to get there. So we are losing the objectivity that it takes to be able to have a sound mind and be able to read these proposals and these new things being introduced and all these laws that's being in there so that we can vote with a sound mind and a well-supplied knowledge and understanding of what's being offered to us. So my question, everyone, is have you gotten to the point of believing that modern-day society has absorbed politics to the wrong personal level? Have they absorbed it to such a personal level that it's causing personal destruction and division. Now, all of you know the number, whoever doesn't, is 347-327-9967. And kindly call in. If you want to speak, you have to press 1. I want to speak on certain things that have been a big issue where Obama is being pegged as the blame or the fault. Okay? Now, there are things that every leader is responsible for. Every single leader is responsible for because that's their job when they get into office. But let's take a really good look about the things that's being specifically pointed out. Unemployment wasn't a problem that happened under Obama. Unemployment was a problem that happened long before Obama was even a possible candidate on the roster. Affordable Care Act, that's what it's really called. But now that people are having a problem with it, be it that they don't want to take out money or they don't want to have certain communities get health care to a point, okay, what they do now is called it Obamacare, because all the bad things that have happened from this debate or this negotiations stagnation now has to go somewhere because they don't want to look bad with it. The ones that are opposing this, they don't want to look piranhas, so we have to make it seem like it's legitimate and justified somewhere. So what do? Let's blame him. Did anybody really stop to look and think and forget about my personal like or dislike or preference to a candidate? Has anybody really just taken an objective look to see how everything was handled and got started? Obama walked into a mess that was already in progress or already in full effect as Bush was leaving when he came in. So before Obama had the chance to sit in office and actually address problems that the nation has now, he still had to come in cleaning up what already was happening. And nobody blamed the people that started the mess or continued the mess, but they blamed the new person coming in. So before he even got the chance to take his hand off the inaugural Bible, pretty much they already had the microscopes clean, sharpened, and straight, ready to put him under it. No one did that to the Reagan-Bush administration, and I call it the Reagan-Bush-Bush administration because there were two Bushes in that little area. So that's that. Unemployment, as I said, wasn't an issue that was Obama-specific. We might have had a little less of an employment problem, I'll say maybe by the time Bush Sr. was around. But you know what? The outsourcing, the continuous outsourcing of jobs being taken from American land and American mouths and going out to people who, hey, nobody's thinking about this, but the computer jobs, the software, the programmers, all of these things are being given to outsiders that can program things against us if they wanted to. So our country is outsourcing and giving away all the internal intelligence to people that can use it against us at some point, rather than give it to their own land and allow people in their own land to replenish the economy here. So unemployment was an issue before Obama was even a possibility, before the grand miracle or the greatest change in history ever took place. So unemployment. Then we have people talking about the health care situation. They're calling it Obamacare. It was the Affordable Care Act passed around by quite a few presidents before him, just never completed or addressed to completion. Nobody really ever sat down and made this a priority to sit at the table and get and negotiate until something was done. Now that this is happening, here we go again. This is not about my personal preference of candidates at all, but I believe that fair is fair. I don't believe that the new maid should come in and be yelled at because the house isn't clean when they haven't finished or wasn't able to clean up a mess that should have been done for them before they took over. I don't think that should be a fair trade. I also don't believe that if there was a candidate that did come in and do something new or try something new and people didn't take the opportunity to try it or reach out for it and then it seemed to fail or they didn't move forward because they didn't try, that should be something that's pegged on a leader of any sort. If the opportunities were there and you were well afforded the chance to try that opportunity and you didn't, you can't say that the program failed. By all means, whatever a leader is responsible for, may they be on the hook for being accountable, but not for things to throw into a smear campaign suitcase. I feel that if you're going to come to a debate and you feel that you have valid opposing arguments and you feel that your points are strong and have merit, then by all means, stand your ground on your merit. But don't start to get afraid that, you know what, wait, maybe this point might not sound as strong to the public as it sounds to me. So let me go dig for some dirt and throw something in there. And let's pad the scale a little bit. If you're going to come out fighting and you believe you have a strong case and you believe that something is that important, then your job is to go out there on what you have and let the chips fall where they may. May the best man win in this one. But there's too many people that are taking it to the point of personal debates where now people are being blinded in what they should be doing to make a change instead of fighting each other. And it's getting to the point where everybody's fighting each other as if they are presidents themselves and they picked up this bill themselves, and that if you don't agree with what they're saying or you don't comply with what they're saying, then they have to go into the work the next day and be held accountable for the nation's downfall or uprising. We're supposed to be looking at what it is that we don't get from this leader or what we felt we were going to get and didn't. Hold them accountable. Go to whatever city hall meetings you need to go to. Write to whatever administrations you need to write to. Show your concern on a unified basis. Address whatever it is that was supposed to be done and not. Address why a certain law that's being passed is going to affect you negatively. Not that anybody's going to completely listen right off the bat, but at least your voice was heard. It's not supposed to be among your common fellow person to the point where you're having personal insult matches. It's okay. It's like sports. You know, sports, you like the Knicks and you like the Bulls. And if the Bulls won, you can bash at the Knicks fans. And if the Knicks fans won, they can bash at the Bulls fans. But it's not supposed to get to a point where everybody takes on these teams as if they're family and that you've insulted my family. This is why we don't get to the point of really solving problems. And politics is a problem. Our country is going to hell in a handbasket. And as I said in our previous segment when we called it the blame game, Obama did it, Bush did it, Bloomberg did it. Bloomberg did nothing to gain the right to point a finger and criticize anybody else's leadership. Anybody else's leadership. Because he didn't do such a grand old great job either. And for those of you who did benefit, it means that that's exactly what I'm talking about. He cleaned it up for your benefit, not for the benefit of the city he runs, but for the people that'll come in and take a look around and see that the city looks great because nobody's looking under the rugs to see that all the dirt's been pushed there, that he took groups and hordes of human lives and threw them into a barrel of a shelter and said, see, we cleaned up the homeless problem. That not only did he take homeless people and put them in shelters, but he forces them to pay rent in order for them to live there. That means unemployed people and homeless people. If they're homeless, how can they pay rent? And then when they get in there, the programs that they're supposed to be able to be afforded when they get there has been depleted, has been nulled and void. So they're actually going into these shelters supposedly on a regimen to get out to independent living after a while, but yet the things that they're supposed to be leading up to has been taken off the table the minute that they got in there. So exactly then, what is going to be the end result? That's what Bloomberg did. Let's talk about the fact that when there were national disasters coming into our state, into our city, natural disasters, blizzards, hurricanes. Rich neighborhood, every private school neighborhood, every suburban area was able to immediately protect their children and close down schools just in case. Even when winds were blowing and things were falling down and ice was doing whatever. What happened with Mayor Bloomberg? Mayor Bloomberg tried to negotiate loopholes in the meteorologist reports. Hurricane Sandy was a perfect example. Even down to the 11th hour, when nonstop the meteorologist kept on saying, this is going to be a big one. There's no getting around it. Even after the first thing is out the way, the eye of the storm still has to come through. He still did not sit there and say, you know what, New York, state of emergency, everybody please just stay indoors, be okay. Not until it got to the 11th hour and the meteorologists were not even changing their story. Matter of fact, it was shifting another way that made it even worse and more impending. So he didn't want to look like a piranha there. So what did he do? Yes, everybody stay in. What happened to New York? It was one of the worst things that had hit New York. So had he not done this sooner, he really would have been on the hook for a whole lot of things. This is what we're dealing with. So if you want to start pointing fingers and point out things that matters. Point out things that are fair to that person's job description. Whenever there's a blizzard and the snow is coming up, oh, it's not that bad. People can get to school. People can get to school. Yeah, okay, maybe they can, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of extra travel and extra danger on the road. There's some people that work on the island but commute to another place. There's kids that still can slip or other cars can slip and skid that can go there. Why not just say, let's close the school so that the city can do their job quickly and return the city back to normal? Not with this man. Inner city parents and public school parents had to wait up all night and wake up extra early to see the news just to find out if New York City was inner city schools were entitled to the same protection as the suburban schools and private areas. That's what a politician should be on the hook for. That if there are increased numbers of injuries, deaths, or risk to a natural disaster that could have been prevented because you did the right thing as the leader of this country and said, let me be more safe than sorry in this respect because you don't know what Mother Nature's going to do. The meteorologist could say that it's just going to be a foot or two or it could be a couple of inches and wind up finding out that, you know what, Mother Nature changed her mind. He had the nerve to say that Obama has, that Blacks are falsely believing that Obama made their life better. In that respect, that is not a scientific fact that he can prove or disprove. That is the way people feel. And for those people who, the 10% that he said, claimed that there wasn't any difference or that it got worse, then that was their right to feel that way. Who was Mayor Bloomberg to walk up and say, you're not feeling correctly? And for those people that were out there debating so badly today, did you read that part? Once again, I welcome your comments. I welcome your suggestions. I welcome your viewpoints here at 347-327-9967. You are welcome to be an open guest on the panel. You can say anything that you like to say. Just keep it respectable. That's all I ask for. And you have to press 1 in order for me to know that you'd like to speak. Okay, I'm going to go out with another small break as I go and retain the rest of some information that I have on this subject. Okay, I will be back. I'm going out with Paramore, Ain't It Fun. Be back in 4 minutes.
now you're one of us. Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun?
Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. To those of you that's just joining me, we are speaking tonight on the subject, Political Chronicles are, are we using politics too personally? Are we taking politics too personally to the point of personal division and personal destruction? And I'm saying this because there was an article that was released by Mayor Bloomberg, where it says that blacks are wrongfully believing that Obama made their lives better, okay? According to him, 53% of blacks say their lives in general have gotten better, while only 10% say that their lives have gotten worse. Now, Bloomberg has decided to say that, in essence, that's not true, that unemployment, let's see, findings with black unemployment that is consistently almost twice as high as white unemployment, black median adjusted income that is 59.2%, that of whites only a slightly higher share than in 1967. More than one-third of blacks reporting that they experience racism a few times a year. Okay, well, experiencing racism is not coming from Obama, so I'm trying to figure out why exactly Obama would be the reason why that it would be a bad thing, or what's going on with blacks being wrong, you know, wrongly believing that Obama is making their life better. So that's a question. My other point was Bloomberg is sort of in the hot seat as well, for at least for New Yorkers. I know many of us know firsthand what Bloomberg's wrath has been. For those of you who were not listening in or just joined me, Bloomberg really cleaned up New York just to the site, not to the actual solution. He did it for his own personal gain and personal preferences, okay? He cleaned up homeless to the eyesight, but not to the core of the problem. People are still hungry in New York City. When there are natural disasters, that's due to hit. Bloomberg has preferences as to who he will allow to say, you know, you can close a school right now, and inner city children and urban children don't have that luxury. When they're not afforded the same luxury of protection and safety from the possible harm that storms and hurricanes can do, even in Hurricane Sandy, he acted the same way. There should have been absolutely no negotiations or, you know, hesitation when the meteorologists were clear and consistent in their stories that Hurricane Sandy was going to be a whopper of impact. People in Far Rockaway, New York, for those of you who are not familiar with that, that's like a whole town or a series of towns down by the river, the Beach 98 and up. When the storms hit, where do you think got hit the worst? When Hurricane Sandy hit, it's right in the water where these buildings and houses are built. Immediately, the waterfront property should have been told to evacuate and leave. That didn't happen until almost the 11th hour. He had to give permission to the schools to close, to keep people in their homes and try to work on being safe as possible. So for him to feel that he's in a position to point fingers at any other politician, whether I like the politician he's speaking about or not, okay, it seems a bit audacious to me. And as I said, that's what I feel, and if those of you that have an opposing opinion, we all kindly call in at 347-327-9967, okay, and pretty much say what you feel, because you're welcome to do so, okay? Obama may have things that a lot of people have a problem with. We all know Obamacare was one of the problems that was on the table quite a bit. They called it Obamacare, but it was really the Affordable Care Act, something that previous presidents before him have addressed but never went to completion with it or kept putting it on the shelf and never really got to the bottom of a core or actually a solid foundation of where to go from here. So that was one of the things that is an issue now. But honestly, if everybody is being fair, if everybody really is taking away their bad taste in their mouth or whatever it is with certain politicians, then you will see and be able to remember that Obama walked into a mess. And in order for him to get to the starting line at zero with a clear, concise starting point, he had to go back into the negatives and clean that up first just to be able to get a starting point. And he could only do that in 4 years. So, okay, the first term, pretty much he was battling two budgets, or I should say, or two terms. One that was supposed to have been on Bush and whatever he was supposed to have taken over from Bush. Nothing was cleaned up from the previous person whose responsibility that it was, and to give the new leader a fresh start or at least a clear start. Not fresh. You know, that the problems of the country are the problems of the country. But when it was a specific mess done by a specific leader who clearly was neglectful in making the solution to the problems they created or allowed to happen or fester under them, the next leader is not supposed to be pegged so hard. So harshly. No one did it with Reagan. No one did it with Bush Sr. Nobody did it with Bush Jr. either. They did it with Clinton. Gee, I wonder why. Nothing was cleared up. Bloomberg bought himself a third term, something that even the Constitution and the laws of mayoral, you know, presiding was an absolute cement stone that this is the way it is, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, two terms, it's over, that's it. He loved the power too much, so he sat there and was like, no, I'm going to find a way to study and find that loophole in our own laws. And money talked, because he sure got himself a third term, and New York is none the wiser for it. Gentrification projects in New York City. In Harlem, New York, for example. Harlem, New York. They allowed people to come in and do a gentrification project. New strip malls, of new mini strip malls of Popeyes and Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and little stores that the mass of unemployed people in that immediate area alone could have benefited from, and the economy could have benefited from new tax-paying people who have jobs now. What did? They kicked the people that was there to the side without consideration and hired people from the outside that really don't need it. They built a huge multi-apartment unit building when right down the block there's a building that has people that are in a homeless shelter, and they're being told there's no apartments available. And they gave the new apartment to people from the outside of the U.S. that was coming in to study medicine at Columbia University and needed affordable off-campus housing. Meanwhile, the people inside the country that need homes are being told there are no homes available to you. So if this leader, who's not even cleaning up his own backyard, is in trouble or in the hot seat, how does he have the right to point a finger politically how somebody else is running their little piece of the pie? And then we as the Americans, the American citizens, the voters, the people's people, instead of us being angry at what is or isn't being done with the people that we're supposed to be angry with, we're fighting each other as if we have a personal investment in going to the White House and being able to sit there and talk to the president face-to-face every single day, or that any of the lawmakers out there know your face personally, and if you don't say or convince people to go with your viewpoint, then you're going to be reprimanded by the Congress itself. This is the problem. This is exactly why all of these political things happen right around us, and we don't seem to understand why did we just get blindsided. Because we're too busy fighting each other about it. The question on the table is, have politics become so personally absorbed by Americans that we are bringing ourselves to the point of personal destruction and personal division? That is the question. It is being sparked by the specific article that Bloomberg wrote stating that black people are being wrongly believing that Obama has improved their life. Okay? That is the question. And once again, bringing up these facts, the things that he has pointed out has not been something that was under Obama's specific tutelage or leadership era. This was stuff that was already in place, and nobody made a dent in it then. Now that it's something that is being brought to the table as a point of interest, now all of these old criticisms are coming forward. And everybody's spending more time trying to get rid of him than actually listening to what he has to say to try to see if there are valid points that need to be shot down or cooperated with. This man has been disrespected on a human level when no other president has, and America's allowed it. America, regardless to whether you like this leader or not, how many of you didn't like other presidents in your days? But I guarantee you that you would have been offended if a foreign leader came in to UN talks and disrespected that president. Why is Obama any different? Regardless of what you like about him, whether you like his skin color or his attitude or his family structure or whatever, he is still the president of the damn United States. And all affordabilities that come with that title is supposed to be afforded to this man until he is out of office. Having leaders come in and heckle him while he's talking about things, having people, you know, refuse to shake his hand and look over him like he's a lowly servant. And all of us are snickering. This is supposed to be our leader. That's exactly why foreign countries will continue to start looking at our weaknesses and be able to strategize a way to come to us. And nobody's listening to this because everybody's sitting up there with their own personal prejudices. And I'm not just talking racism prejudices. I'm talking about whatever. Unemployment, not on Obama. Okay? Healthcare, Obama, but Obama picking up something that was started and shelved and never readdressed. Yet it's a problem that is something that is an ongoing concern for America. People get sick all the time. The healthiest and richest of people get sick. Health care is needed. Now, for those people that can't afford it, this is what the Affordable Care Act was about. This is what the Affordable Care Act is about. this is a point in time. I see you callers. I will be bringing you in just a minute. This is a point in time where now we have to figure out a way to come to an agreement where everybody's afforded something that's going to overall benefit the whole. So again, to those of us, you just joining us, this is a question on the table. Has politics become so personal to people that they are now becoming personally divided and personally destructed with each other? That's the first question. And then the other thing is, it was prompted by the article written by Bloomberg to state that black people are wrongly believing that Obama improved their life. Okay, now we're going to bring in our callers one at a time. 1 second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
What's up, Katie?
Hey, Lou. Hang on. There's two other people. You'll be first. Hang on. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, this is Mark. How are you doing, Katie?
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. Let me get our third caller in. And, Lou, the mic goes to you first with the question I'm going to pose. Hold on. Welcome to the show.
What up, Marky Mark? All right. I'm sorry. Good old Marky Mark.
Welcome to the show, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Hi, Deacon.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, 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 everyone. God bless everybody.
Right. Gentlemen, you all were aware of the article that prompted tonight's topic because it prompted the huge debate that took place on Facebook today. And the viewpoint I had on it, Bloomberg stating that blacks are wrongly believing that Obama improved their life overall, and 53% of blacks say that he did. 10%, according to them, of blacks said that it got worse. Now, my point was, first of all, as a New Yorker, I personally know that Bloomberg doesn't have a damn leg to stand on to point any fingers at anybody else's leadership. And number two, the article itself is audacious because how dare you try to convince somebody that they're feeling wrong?
Exactly.
You know, that was you, Lou. So go ahead. You tell me what you think about that.
Before you start, Lou, I just want to say, Lou, what's up, man? How you doing? And Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
All right.
I almost don't even know where to start. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a sponsor. I support Obama for different reasons than people even know. I mean, I'm sure there's many of people that probably think I supported Obama because he's black, which is the most ignorant thing anybody could say. Sometimes on Facebook, I just for effect, I piss people off and say I support him no matter what and whatever. But that's not the truth. I'm too intelligent, I think, to agree with someone totally all everything and anything they do. That would be unintelligent. But I don't even know where to start when it comes to that. First of all, Bloomberg. Let me just get that out of the way. Who is Bloomberg? What kind of credibility do you have? He's a known racist profiling. You know what I mean? With that all that stop and frisk and so on and so forth. A rich billionaire elitist who ran for mayor basically as a game, quite frankly, to something to do as a hobby. Basically, that's what he ran for mayor and tried to even go so far as to get a third term and all that old kind of crap. It's just a big game to him. But when it comes to Obama, what really kills me, we get it. He's been the most disrespected, most president in the history of presidencies as far as we go. We know most of it is based upon racism, but let's take that away. Let's just say you really don't agree with his policies and his structure. You're Republican or whatever that case, that's fine. But when people didn't agree with Bush, they may talk in the privacy of their homes and amongst their coworkers and so on and so forth, but when did they ever get on national TV during congressional meetings and so on and so forth and call him out and tell him to shut up and different things? Yeah, he got a shoot through at him over in another country, but in America, people didn't do like that. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with racism. Quickly on the Affordable Care Act, Katie, do you know there's a study done where people were for the Affordable Care Act, white people, all for the Affordable Care Act, but they were against Obamacare. They're against Obamacare because his name is attached to it, but they are for Affordable Care Act. But that shows you their ignorance right there, though. Go ahead, brother. I'm handing out candy to y'all, so you'll have to excuse me. Go ahead, help yourself, get as much as you want. But anyway, so anyway, So again, as far as me supporting Obama, many of the things that I mentioned on the thing today, that people don't take the time to educate themselves, to find out about all they're looking at. And I'm telling you, many, many will not admit this, but I assure you, and y'all can tell me whether y'all agree or not, many black people don't, because they don't understand how government functions and that there are checks, balances and so on and so forth. Many people felt that when Obama came into office, he should have started handing out SUVs and condos and cash vouchers to black people. I'm telling you, none of them will admit it, but that's what they ignorant is about. He ain't doing nothing for us. And when I hear that, I got to admit, it frustrates me to honestly, not personally, but to see our people that ignorant. You know what I mean? Ignorant to the way how government functions. The man can't come in the office and start handing out vouchers to black people. And not only that, he's not black people's president. He's the president of the United States. That's what really be killing me. They don't really know they're ignorant.
Yeah.
You know, that's what really kind of gets me sometimes. If you really look at the laws and stuff, this man, even with him being the most obstructive president in the history of presidents, look at how much he has still managed to do. Imagine if he didn't have so much obstruction. Wow. You see what I'm saying? Look what he still has fought tooth and nail to accomplish. And again, what we was talking about today on Facebook with Ready to Do, he kept on saying he has done nothing for us. I had to keep crying. I'm a father. I have a mortgage. I got two kids in college. Obama has done things that has affected me personally. My wife, who can no longer now be paid less than a man for doing the same job. She's a pharmacist, work at a hospital where that's kind of an issue. Where they want to try to pay. You know, it's a known fact that they pay women less than men. So that benefits me. When he lowered the student loan rates and so on and so forth, that benefits me with two kids in college. So I can't say he has done nothing for me. You see what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I agree with you totally, Lou.
I'm going to pass the mic.
I'm done tonight. I'm going to let somebody else talk because, you know, I get to running off.
Yeah, I know. You're about to have a hyperventilation right now. But I just want to say a couple of things you said. A, Bloomberg did, correction, he did buy a third term because he's annoying the hell out of us right now. That's number one. Number two, you weren't on earlier when I said that, Obamacare was not, everybody was on board, you're right, with the Affordable Care Act. It's only called Obamacare now because now those same people who were supporters are trying to stop it, and they don't want to look bad in the process, so they're going to call it Obamacare to peg this guy with the accountability for it. The only thing Obama did was take that very same issue that they put on the shelf incomplete and tried to bring it to completion. Problem is, he wants to
by previous president.
You know?
Well, it originated with Bobby Kennedy.
All right, wait, 1 minute. Okay, who said that?
Me, Mark.
Who said what?
Hi, Mark. Okay,
go ahead. If I can jump in here just for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go back to the very beginning of how Obamacare started. Obama took a program that Romney used in Massachusetts, and it was successful in Massachusetts. And it was all good. Everybody liked it. It didn't start going bad publicly or at least start getting a bad rap until a black man, politician, tried to take it nationwide and the Republicans attached Obama's name to it, knowing that as a black man and black president, it was going to have some negative connotations mostly because it was coming from a black man. Romney was all for that program in Massachusetts, and all Obama did was try and take the program national. And since there was a campaign going on at the time, and he was running against Obama, then he had to run against his own program. And that's
made himself
started
look like a clown, didn't he? Made himself look foolish, didn't he, Marky Mark? Well, he had to totally do it. 180 on his whole program that he instituted and put and was successful in and he was trying to say it's different or it's all, he basically made himself look really like a fool.
Well, that's the question on the table tonight. Do you all feel that people nowadays have taken away the objectivity in politics and taken it to heart like they're part of the Congress making themselves? And it's getting to the point where we're becoming a divided people. I'm not just talking blacks. I'm talking everybody. Everybody's taking for politics so damn personally that they're starting to have insults to each other. I understand that on the whole, there are issues that that the general issue affects people to a point of personal gain or personal effect, right? But we know when we walk in to the ballots, we're not voting because that person knows me. We're voting because that person believes in something that can make a change in what will affect me on a whole or my community on a whole. Like you said, like you said, Lou, just now, Obama did something where women are going to get paid equally. That affects me to the point that I'm a woman and I work.
Exactly. Right. If you have kids in college, I got two kids in college.
And I have an army that's going to head there. So, you know, yes, that to the point, that's where it personally affects me. But these people are walking around like Bloomberg is their friend. And then that's the other thing. Oh, my God, I get tired of hearing that today. Oh, everybody's getting emotional over this person. Everybody's acting like this person's their friend. And I have to clarify one thing. No politician is my damn friend. They don't know me. They don't know my address. They only know my address and email address when they need a vote. But at least I can say that with my voting power, I can ask the questions I need to ask to find out, are you worth getting my valuable vote?
Katie, my mind, I want to touch on something you said right quick before I forget. You know, my mind ain't whatever. But quickly, first of all, you mentioned about people taking it too strong and taking politics too personal, too this and that. Quite frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm kind of a rare when it comes to, you got a whole lot of, they won't admit it, but you got a whole lot of black people that just started following politics when Obama ran for office. Probably in many cases just started voting. Due to my mother being a strong UAW, you know, rep and so on and so forth, General Motors back in Michigan and stuff, believe it or not, you may not believe this, but I'm going to tell y'all anyway, I've been following politics since back in Jimmy Carter days, 1976, following politics, watching debates, and so on and so forth with my mom and what have you. So at a young age, I know how government functions, the X's and the O's, and how without the Congress, you know, approval, the president basically is a, what's the word, when you just are sitting, you can't do very much. You can't do very much without congressional approval. Other than that, it would be a dictator. So to answer your question, it ain't just started. I've worked at several jobs where you were advised against talking politics and stuff in the break room and so on and so forth because they knew how divisive it was. You know what I mean? When it comes to politics and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So. It didn't just start. Obama took it to a whole nother level because you had you infused the racism. Look how they talk. Look how I watch MSNBC a lot. And just to keep up with the enemy, what they doing, I watch Fox as well. And that shows you how I'm not just, I watch CNN. I watch all. You see how you can switch channels from MSNBC to Fox, and they can be talking about the exact same subject, but the way they deliver it and the message be totally different. I know that MSNBC is a liberal-leaning station and Fox is a right-leaning station. But the point is, have you ever seen a president where they sit up and talk all that mess about he's not American, all out on public news conferences and stuff? You know what I mean? He's not American. He's this. He's that. Some of them, they going too far. That's where the racism come in. It's one thing not to agree with his policies and to be Republican and just don't agree with Democratic policies. But with they going over the top with that racism, in many cases, they have called him the end. Look at all this stuff that's coming out with all this about this assassinate the nigger and kill all his kids and whatnot and all that. They actually, I don't know if that particular one is true, but they actually be saying that kind of stuff publicly.
Yeah. Okay, and so I was speaking on that earlier too. No other president ever has been disrespected and Americans allowed it. I don't care whether you like the president that was in office at that time or not. You never allowed any foreigners or outsiders or other leaders to come to a UN talk and publicly humiliate, disrespect, or dismiss your leader. That is the problem. That, and that, those, these type of stupidities okay, leave America more vulnerable to outsiders than they realize, because they're watching us fight each other, and they know it's time to attack. This is the time to go do whatever. When everybody is sitting up there trying to look at this one specific factor about this man and use that to hate your own people, internal fighting is the biggest means of divide and conquer. And Bloomberg, I need to get back to that. There's some facts. I'm going to go right over to you, Zeddy, because you haven't spoken yet. But there was a particular little point that was made in this article, and it said, the point is, in a country where only 63% of Americans are white, okay, whites are overrepresented in Congress, and yet they still seem to feel slighted. Meanwhile, African Americans are underrepresented, but because of one black president, they somehow seem to feel empowered. Who the hell are you to tell a person that they should feel something different? Another point of stats that they put in here was that findings is that black unemployment that is consistently almost twice as high as white unemployment, black median adjusted income that is 59.2%, that of whites, are only a slightly higher share than in 1967, and more than one-third of blacks reporting that they experienced racism in, quote, a few times a year. Yeah, right. Who are these people that you're going to? First of all, unemployment is not Obama's fault. Unemployment was a problem long before Obama's name was even a possibility in cyberspace. So unemployment was a problem. Okay, you can't blame unemployment on Obamacare, which they just tried to do during the government shutdown. They literally tried to justify choosing to cut their employees' life bread off instead of cutting the vacation fund to help fund the Obamacare thing. Okay, they literally tried to tell the employees, blame Obama for you losing your job, because since he wants us to go in our pocket, we have to cut you to save it. No, you don't. Don't buy a yacht this year.
Right. You know, another thing we can talk about as far as Obama, when Obama first came into office, he was trying to push jobs programs nationwide, and the Republicans all turned that down, even though with all their complaining about the unemployment rate, this was a way to get the nation back to work, and the Republicans fought him tooth and nail and wouldn't fund it, and they still haven't funded it. So for them to turn around now and complain about the unemployment rate is astronomical and it's all Obama's fault, they have their hand in that, and it's been done intentionally.
That's the other thing that makes this president's job so hard, Mark. Every single time he says something that makes sense, they give him an obstacle or a wall to kiss. That's what they do. And then they want to turn around and say, nope, we have this problem, and nope, he's the reason why. No, he brought you something that you felt your people should have said first. The other thing I brought up was this. Let's compare back to Bloomberg, who absolutely, in my mind, has no damn reason to feel he has the right to be qualified as a critic. Okay? I'm a New Yorker. I voted for the jerk back in 2001 when the 9/11 attacks was happening. He was standing right in the middle of falling debris and smoke and asbestos and everything on national TV going, no, if you hire me for your mayor, hire me, vote me in, because I love New York, and this is an atrocity, and I don't even want to take no money. I'm telling you, I just want to be your mayor. I don't even want to take money. And we're all engulfed in grief and fear and panic and anger, and we're going, he doesn't even want money. Yes, you dummies, because he's a billionaire. He doesn't need
right.
Okay, so
what he did, he didn't want money. He wasn't inspired by power or greed and all that. He wanted just something to do.
Right. So
he might not really love New York. I don't deny that. But it was more like a monopoly game for him.
Right. It was a new toy to play with because he had so many things else. That's the one thing he didn't get to do. My thing is this. If you want to put a politician on the hook for something, do it for something they are truly responsible for doing and failed. Listen, Obama, everything that they got on him for was somebody else's mess that he was forced to clean up because now he's in the seat. Oh, let's talk Bloomberg's problem. Bloomberg, natural disasters hit New York, pending warnings coming. Now, I'm going to just talk about Hurricane Sandy just as an example. Hurricane Sandy, the meteorologist said from a week before, this is the track of this storm. It's not getting any lighter. It's not getting any weaker. As a matter of fact, it's gaining strength. Oh, my God. It just came from the side. Now there's another whole path it's going to take, which is going to make it worse. And even after the first impact, the eye of the storm is still there. Do you know that every other person, every other leader in New York, New Jersey, everybody, okay, was ready already. They already evacuated people. They already closed down schools. This man stood to the 11th hour trying to find loopholes in the meteorologist report to make sure that inner city kids didn't really have to skip school. And the only reason why he went through with doing it was because even down to his own 11th hour, the meteorologists didn't change their story. He does the same thing when blizzards are hitting. Every other school is allowed, every other suburban area, private school is allowed to immediately protect their kids just on the possibility of it being a big storm. And what does he do? He makes us parents of the public school children and the inner city children wait like with bated breath to see what the news is going to say so we know whether or not we got to wake up our children or let them sleep.
You know why, Katie? Because all his kids and grandkids and whatever this net was probably somewhere in an underground bunker somewhere and with no worries whatsoever. So he didn't care. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing. He don't fool me. But Bloomberg don't fool me with his whole, he ain't Republican or Democrat. What he call himself, independent. Well, he don't fool me. He's still the devil. In my opinion, he's just a wealthy devil, basically.
Indeed.
Well, like many of them, quite frankly.
Well, the thing was that's what I'm saying. That's the type of thing that leadership critique should come to. That is his responsibility, to spare his people, to be as safe as possible, to give the best of care and leadership for the good of the overall people. Don't sit there and talk about that blacks are not rightfully feeling comfortable because they're seeing things wrong. Who are you to tell a person what they feel? If they
and
feel
first of all, Katie, that's his opinion. He ain't black. How can he say what Obama done for black people? So that ain't nothing but him just trying to make a knock at Obama. But look, let me say this too, and then y'all calm here, man, 'cause you know I get to run it whatever the snap. But let me say this. Y'all mentioned about the obstruction and all that. Let's face it, during the night of his inauguration in 2008, they was meeting up the road from him, you know, and they basically made their plans in motion then. Obstruct. Even laws and policies that they were for, that they were champions of, Obama would agree with them, and they would flip the script and be against it. Come on.
Right.
And if y'all have y'all know lately, if y'all have seen him in any of his news conference and press conferences and so on and so forth, he shied away while he was, you know, when he still had an opportunity to run for re-election. Now tell me if y'all have been seeing this transition. He shied away from getting too hard on them about, like, invoking race as to why they so hard on him. He still won't. But as of lately, have y'all noticed he's been calling them out more and saying things in a roundabout way? Why are you going to let the country go to heck, whatever, because you have a problem with me? Remember, have y'all ever seen him say that? He ain't saying because y'all got a problem with me being black, but that's what he inferring. You know what I mean? Of course, because politics, he can't go to coming out and calling people prejudiced, even though people know the writing is on the wall. But, you know, obviously as a politician, he can't, you know, be invoking the race card. But he's been dibbling around with it pretty doggone close and saying, why are you going to shut down the government because you have a problem with me? I've heard him say that. You know what I mean? And I commend him. I commend him. That shows you he kind of fed up with him. You know, he frustrated when he started to talk like that. He would never talk like that really initially.
Indeed.
I remember that interview.
I'm going to pass the mic over to Deacon Zetti, but we do have another caller. Let me bring them in. And then, Deacon, the mic is to you. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hey, you're blaming poor Obama again.
Not us. We're talking about somebody who did. Hi, Rod. Okay. You're going to be up next. Deacon has the floor right now. Go ahead, Deacon. Chime in here.
Okay. First of all, like Lou said, I'm not going to go along with any and everything that Obama does, and which I don't. I don't agree with some of the things that is a part of his policy. And I would be an an idiot to just be a yes person to anybody. So basically my problem is the disrespect that our commander-in-chief receives. Never in the U.S. history has there been so much disrespect to a commander-in-chief of the United States, and we're supposed to be the most powerful country in the world.
True.
That doesn't make us look very good to the other countries that are not as well off as we are.
Indeed.
And it makes us look like our guards are down. You think of these other foreign countries are not watching and seeing how disrespectful we are to our leader, and we as a people are not making things easy on him too as he tries to address foreign policy. So let's make that very clear. And as far as Bloomberg, who the hell is Bloomberg? What in the world has he ever done for the underprivileged people in the state of New York or anywhere, as a matter of fact? He's only thinking about himself and his other rich counterparts.
Exactly.
So he's not even in the equation. And I feel like New York needs to stand up and send him a message and let him know you're not running things. As a matter of fact, he's got it twisted. He's a politician. He's supposed to be working for the people. Let him start getting up off his rusty dusty and start working for the people like he's supposed to do. Our tax dollars pay him. He don't pay us a damn thing.
He's too busy trying to sweep up the people that don't look good on into the public eye. And that was
He doesn't look good in the public eye. Period.
Well, no, he looks like a rat. But
he's busy working his ponies.
Okay.
He's busy
now I want to get back to Obama. I feel like people that say they don't like Obama, it really bothers me when it's coming from our own race. For the simple fact, this man has been placed in an office that a lot of BS has been piled up over the years. Let's go back 20 years. That stuff that needed to be addressed that was never addressed because we have people walking around with their eyes wide shut and they've got blinders on them because they have other distractions over here to take our minds off of it. But I'm not one of the ones that does that because I'm trying to keep an eye on just about everything. And that's impossible. You can't keep an eye on everything, but you have to keep an eye on the most important things that affect you. So when you say that Obama is not doing what he's supposed to do, let's make a few points here. One of the points is the unemployment rate. If you did a study of the unemployment rate, it has dropped.
Continues,
and it has dropped further than any Bush or Reagan. Let's go back as far as Reagan. You know, what were we getting from Reagan? The trickle down effect, Reaganomics. And if you didn't think that was affecting our people, guess again. And as far as both the Bushes, now you got a Bush that lied to us in the first place about destructive weapons over in the Middle East. We were lied to about that, and we lost soldiers over there in that war. That was a war crime. Why wasn't he brought up on charges? If that was Obama, you best believe they'd probably be trying to lynch him right now.
So there's quite a few issues that they're
throwing at Obama, and he's not given a fair chance because it took years for us to be in the bull crap hole that we are in. It's not going to happen in 4 to 8 years. That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And for anybody think that it's going to happen overnight, you are sadly mistaken, and you need to wake up and slap yourself.
If you walk in, Obama,
you know, he's number one, a politician. He's going to do whatever his handlers tell him to do. Personally,
right.
I support Obama nationally on the things that he's been trying to do for the American people.
Mm-hmm.
I support him on that. Internationally,
right.
I have issues with him because internationally, the world is really run by the multinational corporations and those people, the money people, the bankers. So internationally,
right.
Obama's foreign policy is not really going to be any different than what Bush's was, what Clinton's was, what Reagan's was. Internationally, our policy is set by the bankers and the multinationals. What we have to worry about that directly affects us is what's happening right here in the United States. Now, Obama, he's in there now, and on a national level, the things that he's been trying to do for the country, I've been all for it. You know, these are the things that affect us directly, health care.
Right, right.
Health care, getting the country back to work. He's been pushing those things, but the Republicans have been fighting him at every turn. At every turn,
yes.
Somebody else brought up the point that when Obama first came into office, the day of his inauguration, the Republicans were meeting in an office down the block talking about how they were going to stop everything that he ever tried to do. They were going to throw up a roadblock to it. And they've been doing it successfully, not only through his first presidency, but through the second one also. That policy has continued. That policy has continued.
And Marky Mark, let me say something real quick and let you go, whatever. Well said, my man, and that's exactly, again, I say certain things on Facebook just for effect and to kind of tick off this particular person who should go unnameless. But I feel exactly the way you do, too, when you say on the national, some of the things he's doing, I'm not just getting them terrorists and doing all that, stopping the wars, but on the national scene, you're right, big banks, Wall Street and all of them pretty much run the international agenda, but from a domestic standpoint, the man, I really truly do believe that the man has the best interest of the people in mind with his domestic policies, and that's evident. I can see it on his face. Look how he even aged, you know, which they typically all do. Obama had jet black hair, man. When he came, that's what the presidents do to you. You know what I'm saying? He didn't age and stuff and everything because, again, the man truly want to try to do, but you got people fighting you tooth and nail, man, simply because they want to diminish your legacy. They want to, you know, that's what that's really all about. They want to diminish his legacy so that he looked like he was a failed presidency. But let me ask this question right quick to the whole panel or something. Let me ask all of y'all thinking on this. With the way that the Republican Party is going now, with they in the tank as far as their ratings, as far as, you know, whatever, it's steady sinking. How long do y'all think it'll be a while unless they steal it? And that's what all that gerrymandering and all of that voter suppression and all that is going on. And too, but do y'all think that the Republicans are winning the White House back again anytime soon without stealing it?
No.
Okay.
They will not. The Republicans.
One minute. Rod hasn't spoken, so I'm going to let you answer that first, Rod. Go ahead.
I'll be brief. I know you guys got a lot to say. It's just that when it comes to Barack, a lot of people, particularly the black people, assume that now that he have a black president in office, he'll solve all black issues. Whereas as president, his job is to solve national problems as well, such as, like that spying thing. They had some sort of data program, worldwide thing, I think they call it PRISM or something like that, in which involves spying practices, you know, phone, computers, and all the other cool stuff. I mean, he has to worry about things like that as well. Foreign relations, not just black people here, but we have to worry about our relations with Germany, Syria, and everybody else. So I'll just end it right there. I know you guys have something in flow, so I'll end it there.
Actually, Rod, Lou posed a question, and I was telling you to answer it first. Lou, repeat your question.
Do y'all think without stealing the election and without altering it with all the voter suppression and everything that they're doing, ID law, voter ID, and so on and so forth, that the Republican Party will win the White House back anytime soon?
No.
Yes. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I sure hope not.
I think Republicans know. I think the Republicans already know they're not going to win a national election again. That's why they kind of threw in a nuclear bomb trying to blow up the whole government, starting with the last shutdown we had. They don't have the numbers. They don't have the numbers. And think about it. If that immigration bill goes through and it's signed by the president, they're going to lose even more people because that means mostly Mexicans are going to be voting Democratic, and they can forget about any kind of national election. from that
okay,
point.
Okay, right now, that question is kind of a two-part. Let me say this, the second part. We all agree pretty much that it'll be a while before they win a national. Now, here's what I submit. They know that, and I think they really don't care. Yeah, they'd like to get in the White House, but I think they really pretty much know that that's not going to happen. So what their concentration is on the Congress and the Senate and basically the governorships and so on and so forth, where they can make all them different laws in them different states, because they know if they control that Congress, then once again, even if Hillary wins in 2016 or whoever, if the Democrats keep the White House and they control the Senate and possibly even, control the Congress still and possibly even the Senate, bam, same thing, nothing gets done. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Republicans, in my opinion, focus is, keeping the Congress and possibly even gaining the Senate and keep the Supreme Court in their favor.
Right. But you know what? The House and the Senate, it can be taken over. It can be overran, too, because all we have to do is just keep our focus on the voting, because for the simple fact, and stop letting people go around saying, well, my vote don't count, because that's a lie, and that's what they want you to continue to think. If you don't get out there and vote, and say, somebody trying to say something?
I said I'm going
to What's going to destroy the Republican Party is the infighting they have going on right now with the Tea Party. Now, if it wasn't for the Tea Party right now, that's causing dissension within the ranks of the Republicans. Think about it. Back in 2010, they won enough Senate, or they won enough states where they could gerrymander districts all over the country. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that's kept them in control of Congress right now, because nationally, throughout the whole United States, the Republicans control the House of Representatives, but nationally, in the voting, more Democrats, more than 5 million Democrats voted for more Democratic contenders than they did the Republicans. However, only because of the gerrymandering, the Republicans are still in control of the House of Representatives. But what's going to tear that apart is the infighting they have going on right now. The Tea Party is going to blow all of that up, making several seats available to be taken over by Democrats in the next election in 2014. If it wasn't for that, we would be trapped, because that gerrymandering, they only do that data where they reset districts every 10 years when they do the census. So if it wasn't for the Tea Party getting in there now and throwing a bomb at them, we would be stuck with dealing with the same stuff until 2020. But because the Tea Party is in there now, we have a chance now to blow that up. You know, let them. They know they're not going to win any national elections anytime soon. But if we can take back control of Congress, we have a chance to continue with Obama's national policies. The international stuff is going to continue. You can bet on that, because that's all about money. But let me just throw in one other thing about Obamacare. A lot of people are complaining, they're going after Obama because because we got the racists in Congress and all that. But to me, it's more than just racism. It's classism. And that's what a lot of people are missing out on. It's not just about the color of Obama's skin. It's classism. If you want to look at Obamacare, look at it in this fashion. At one time in this country, before Obamacare came out there and was passed by all Congress, the House of Representatives, Senate, and signed by the President, health care was considered a privilege. Yep. And by it being a privilege, that means only the people who had money would be able to afford to get it. Mm-hmm. Now, with Obamacare, the ACA bill means now health care is no longer considered a privilege, but now it's a right. And a lot of people don't like that.
That's another thing right there that I didn't even bring up when I was mentioning all my things that he has done, so on and so forth. I'm switching from my job, which is going to save me a tremendous amount of money. My job, but it cost me a whole lot of money. I went on, my wife, who's a computer doggone, could be a hacker, she went on and they talking about all that problems with the signing up for Obamacare and so on and so forth. Man, she went on there and signed up for me for Obamacare, man, in 20 minutes. Got to, you know what I'm saying? And then, whatever. But I want to touch on something that you just said right quick, Zadie, before I lose my train of thought, when you said the Senate and the Congress and so on and so forth. That's another problem with our people that I have with so on and so forth. We vote pretty much primary. We come out in droves for national election, for the president, but we don't
right.
understand key into getting out and voting for those representatives and those Senate seats, governorships,
correct.
And so on and so forth. I know plenty of people, too many to name, that
yeah.
go out and vote and get their little sticker on for president and stuff, and some of them didn't even start voting. I'm talking about people my age voting for the first
right.
time for Obama, you know, and their crowd, you know, they didn't vote. Nigga, you 40.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You 40, dude, and it's your first time start voting? Come on, really? You know what I'm saying? My mama, I've been voting since I turned 18, and I've been voting in every election since I was 18 years old. You know, and that's one of our problems as a people, man. We don't get, because if we get out and vote enough and vote for them different things, we could change the structure
yes.
of the Congress and the Senate and so on and so forth, man. People, white folk don't want to believe it and so on and so forth, but us and Mexicans make up the majority in America. White folk is not no longer the majority in America.
No.
The Fox
no.
News would have you believe that, but they not. And if we get out and vote, man, like, we could, man, they could run the table on governorships and congressional seats and everything all across the country, man. But enough of us don't get out. They put that old word out there. If you a felon, you can't vote. And so I know so many people, whatever this and that. But what that is, that's certain states. That's not applied to every single state. That's certain states.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They put it out there as though if you a felon, you can't vote. People figure, I'm a felon, I can't vote. That's that, whatever. Now, look, quickly, let me jump to something else, too, about the Affordable Care Act. Why is it that y'all, and that's an excellent point you made, Marky Mark, about it was what's considered a privilege. Why do y'all think it is that the Republicans and all of them is so anti Affordable Care Act? Quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, why are they so against it? Don't want everybody to have health care. I mean,
yeah.
particularly, first of all, they don't have a problem with the privilege. Obviously, the privilege got health care, the wealthy and so on and so forth. They don't want poor people and namely us. If the Affordable Health Care Act was available to be instituted where only white people could get it, they'd be all for it. So that brings me
yeah.
to a whole other thing, too. When you talk about population control, when you talk about population reduction, what better way to reduce a population than to have them not have health care? Y'all
right.
don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear
yeah.
me. That's what that's all about. That's what that's all
yeah.
about. They want people to not – they want us. If unemployment, welfare, food stamps, and all of that was started for white people. It was
right.
started for white people. So when I hear people talking about it's more black people on food stamps and all that stuff,
that's a lie.
Irritates me too. It's ignorant because, first of all, if that was the case, it would end. If
that's
that
right.
was the case, if that became the case where more black people were on food stamps than whites, food stamps would end. It was all created for white people. And if this was a way that they could give health care only to white people, the Republicans that's so anti-against it, they would be for it. So this is all about the charter. They want us to die.
That's right.
Population
that's
reduction.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear
that's
me.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me. Did I get too deep for y'all just now?
No, you didn't get too deep.
You hit the nail right on the head, Lou.
I'm going to say one thing. I'm a firm believer that all the pouting and temper tantrums and sticking your mouth out and stubbornness and crossing your arms, it can only be effective but for so long.
Because
yeah. eventually they're going to wind up throwing temper tantrums so far along, it's going to affect them. Listen, they had. I speak on this. When the government shut down.
I'm on the broadcast.
One second. When
Marcus, come on, General, get it together, man. Come on.
when they shut down the government simply because they didn't want the underprivileged, like you said, Marky Mark, it's not just about color. It's about classes as well, okay? It's classism as well. So it's not just the minorities anymore, but it's the people that don't have money or don't have businesses or don't have a certain amount of income. All right, it's all well and good, but they forget that health care affects everybody. So you might be rich enough to get treated if you get sick, but what about that person that is carrying the disease that can go into the air and affect you? You understand? They're not going to find out how to stop it because they know they don't have health care. They're not going to be seen. So while they're busy trying to be prejudice about certain things and stopping the government simply so that poor people don't get it. Poor people could be the ones that get sick and pass it on to everybody else. No matter how rich you are, you're not rich enough to stop a virus from hitting your system.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And that's the thing that gets me. While nobody thinks about what the overall thing is until it becomes an epidemic to them. And that's the problem.
The virus doesn't look at their pockets first.
Thank you.
They'll say, hey, that's a poor black man. Let's get him. He's not contributing, supposedly, to society anyway.
Absolutely. But I don't think that they're going to be able to tantrum the budget, the government, too much longer. I think that they're going to do what they can to the end. But you're right. The Democrats are becoming a lot more powerful. Minorities are becoming a lot more active. They may not have understood it. I think Obama is going to wake up a lot of political awareness in the people who never took politics seriously before. I believe that. Like you said, never in history have I been able to say I agree with the fact that Republicans are afraid they won't ever win a national election no time soon. Just think really hard about how powerful a statement that is. And Lou, you mentioned it. That is a very powerful statement. That in itself is already showing shift of power. Problem is that we have to start understanding the power in that shift ourselves so that we know how to properly utilize it for us. Okay, the cell phone, I like to use this as an analogy of example. Okay, the cell phone business, like you just said, healthcare used to be a privilege, right? Wasn't cell phones the same? Think real hard. All right, Patty,
yes,
y'all got
they were.
You all
yes,
remember.
They were. I can remember when cell phones, the portable phones were the type that mine looked like. The first cell phone I had, it looked like
I had a razor. That was my first cell phone.
yellow
no,
pages.
Let's go before that.
You know what, Rod?
Mm-hmm.
If you told me you had a razor with your first cell phone, I could pretty much tell you your age.
Twitter and all that other stuff.
I go back to when cell phones was big as a laptop.
It was a portable radio.
Mm-hmm. Mine was as big as the AT&T Yellow Pages. And it was
oh, my God, yes. You actually needed you needed another person to carry it for you. To carry it with you, yes. But
it was time only the wealthy and doctors and stuff had them. They
right.
Come in, they were cases.
Going
and
doctors,
you carry
judges, but think about it. Somebody realized that it got boring after a while, that there was only a certain amount of sales they were going to get from people that they were only credit worthy. So they figured out a way to come into the lower income people in front of, whoa, those people buy. They don't have money at first, but they'll buy big. So what did they do? Now, how am I going to get a piece of that pie in this? And not then again, if obviously if they're struggling with bills, they can stiff us on a credit bill or on a monthly bill. So how can I still get a piece of that purchasing power without sticking us in the process? What did they do? They started pretending that they were interested in our thoughts about it. So they started taking national surveys. I remember because I was one of the people they asked, what would you do? What stops you from getting a cell phone, ma'am? Definitely, I don't have the credit. Well, what else? Well, it's too much money. And not only that.
$300 deposit.
Right. It's too much money. It's too much money. And you know something? How would you feel if you could be able to prepay for something? And then, you know, you can, when it goes down, you pretty much control your service. Well, that would be great for me. And only $10 a month. And only, you understand? Then that's when the prepaid cell phones came out. How is it right now that people are not, even rich people, are not buying contract phones anymore? They're going with the no-contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've worked at Metro PCS and AT&T, Katie, so I know all about it. I used to see people come in. I had a Metro phone with $43 a month. I finally, since I moved to Texas, upgraded to a smartphone where it's like 60-something a month. But I used to see people come into AT&T and pay $280, $300 phone bills for 1 month because they don't know their minutes. They didn't text too much and went on the Internet too much, and it used to be ridiculous to me.
It used to be absolutely ridiculous to me. Metro PCS in my hometown of Michigan made Sprint and AT&T go to the where they got no contract now and everything.
Right.
Metro PCS started that. It made them do that. They had to compete because other than that, they would still be doing it because they was raping people. They was raping people.
My very first prepaid phone was with VoiceStream, which is now T-Mobile. I think it used to be Singular first, then it went to VoiceStream, then it went to T-Mobile. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that T-Mobile has the best prepaid plans and prepaid terms and everything. They include a lot more for great prices, and I believe that. But VoiceStream, I'm loyal to because when the 9/11 attacks happened, and I was on that money card prepaid, you know, where you had a balance in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one day, the day before that attack happened, I was down to my last $3 on there and was, you know, ready to go buy a new card. The next morning when I got up and this thing happened and I was trying to call to my ex-husband and my sisters and find out how everybody was, I noticed that after I hung up, after I didn't get through, it said your balance left was $49. I was like, what? So I was like, wait, they made a mistake. No, then they announced that due to the disaster that just took place, the tragedy, they actually funded everybody credit money back to help them find their loved ones. So I said, you know what? That's a corporation I can respect.
Mm-hmm.
But they...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
actually, I'm going to be honest, you said you had them, Katie, but a lot of them done that. I remember that. And did type of services and different things like that with cell phones during that time. So I remember that.
Okay,
how many people
remember? Go ahead.
How many people remember Cricket?
Yeah.
Remember who?
Cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
Nope, the Cricket phone.
No contact.
Yeah.
I think they got bought out by somebody and owned by somebody now. I believe AT&T or somebody bought it out.
I think it is AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
The Cricket, the Motorola Blur, the Pebble now. But I remember when, like you said, we had to have another person help us carry our cell phone. And it had the big old antenna.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a mini.
Look, y'all, we got totally off subject, but anyway, so what? Let's go, whatever, this and that. Do y'all remember when Joker first started putting them in their cars and stuff, and everybody was getting cell phones in their cars, but couldn't get the bill paid? So after 3 months or something, they just had the little thing in there with it not working. And you know what I mean?
I know.
I used to get in people's cars that had them, be like, man, let me use your phone. Oh, man, it's whatever, whatever. So, I knew it was long and stuff because people couldn't afford it. It was too expensive.
We know how to survive. If we have to, we know how to survive. The thing is, to get back on point with all that we were just bringing up, is this.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to bully us by tantrum for too much longer. They're not going to be able to, I think people are going to start appreciating the power of their vote. They're going to start really understanding it. I think that this is going to be a wake-up call to a lot of people in the lower classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that the actual true majority power of the lower income and the poor and everything is going to start to be on the front page and be an awareness, awakening to those people trying to stop all this from happening. Obama, not just him being the first black president, but everything Obama has done has opened up huge doors and huge awareness and different changes. Whether they get him the hell out quickly or not in this last little time he has left, he has made a mark. And I don't understand how anybody can say, like you said, have a problem with him in our race. I'm not talking so much about him being a black president. But like you said, Lou, that man did stuff regardless of the obstacles. The first thing I remember him doing when he officially took office was he found a way to give public assistance mothers extra money for school supplies because he came in right as school was starting on their EBT cards. And the whole thing was he did it without touching America's money.
Yeah.
And they hated that. So a billionaire that had his own money funded Obama's mission. And they couldn't stand it because they were expecting that to be the first thing they were going to put that. See, first thing he did was took money out of the American account. No, he didn't. This billionaire put up his own private funds for Obama because he supported the mission. And I remember the day that we got up, I was like, uh-oh, we better go to the ATM and take it before they realize they made a mistake. You know, but it wasn't a mistake. He really said that the cost of school supplies, especially the lists are growing every year now. Now the schools want you to buy handy wipes, antibacterial wipes. You need 12 notebooks per kid. And I'm sitting there like, I have six. Four are going to school. You know what that's like, that I have to sit there and buy 12 notebooks per child?
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Katie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you know what, though? Let me just say this. A lot of them doggone Republicans and stuff is, and that's what kills me about a lot of them, too, hypocrisy. They so big of hypocrites. Look, they so all that, all of a sudden now since Obama been in office, they such staunch fiscal hawks. The deficit, the this and that. When Bush was started two wars that was unpaid for, they wasn't saying nothing. They wasn't saying a darn word. So that's what, again, that kills me. A lot of them have no credibility with me. They such fiscal hawks and stuff, but they support unpaid wars, which is why the deficit is still what it is, all them 10 years in doggone Iraq. You know what I mean? Stuff, billions and billions of dollars and stuff a week. You know what I mean? That's what we're all unpaid for. Do you hear anything about that? No.
No.
You know what I mean? That's what kills me about a lot of them and stuff. You know, because I'm going to be honest, and this is not a racist type of thing, because I will honestly say this. This may surprise some of y'all, but I truly am not racist. Honestly, some of my best friends are white. But, but I'm not truly not racist. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of them, in all, because of their racism, they so... And actually, they're so ignorant in a lot of them where they let their racism, they rather bite their head off than whatever, because they're against things because of Obama's race that would directly affect and benefit them, such as health care, for one, but many other things. But their racism is so embedded in the bigotry where they against, you know. For example, I saw one of those, what they have where they have one of those where the politician goes somewhere and be talking to a group, a room of people, whatever they call those, you know what I'm saying? I see a guy sitting in a wheelchair with tubes and going on and stuff, coming out of his doggone mouth and breathing tubes and so on and so forth, talking about he against afford Obamacare. Come on, really? You know, a white dude in a wheelchair with oxygen tanks and so on and so forth, talking about, you know, heck with Obamacare and blah, 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 blah. Come on, really?
Sounds like he needs all the free health care he can get.
You're in a wheelchair with breathing tubes and stuff coming all out your mouth, dude. But your bigotry is so much that you know what I mean?
Okay, Lou, hold on. Rod, what were you saying, honey?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with him. That's all, as far as the Obamacare was concerned, that he would need every bit of health care he could get. That's all I was just saying. They all...
Lou, you brought up some good points. You brought up some great points. I told you, you better take a breather. You need some oxygen right now. No, honestly, you brought up a point that I wanted to bring up that I spoke about earlier before the panel called in. And this is something that I wanted to say, okay? I'm not about race with the leader. I'm not about, you know, I'm only with this guy because he's black. I'm with him because he's done things that I personally have found to be good things. Now, the thing is with me, put Obama on the hook for things he hasn't done. You guys mentioned the international policies. Fine. That's something that he's accountable for. It's all on him. Great. But what I feel is this. If you're going to come to a debate, if you're going to sit up there and challenge a person and you feel you have one or two really good arguments and they're strong and it's a definite concern and it's true, then stand on your own merit when you come to the battleground. But don't try to go, wait a minute, what happens if I get there and people don't really think it's as good as it sounds to me? Well, you know what? Let's go look and see what he did when he was in high school. Yeah, and he smokes weed. Oh, and he did this. You understand? Don't start padding it. Don't start fudging it. If you feel that you're good enough to go in there and win this debate because you've got good points and they're solid and they're real and they're universal and they make a difference, then be strong in what you're coming to the table with and don't be a cheater. That's the way I feel. Now, this man walked in 2008 with a mess already on the floor, all right, a 12 to 20 year mess before him that was already built up, thrown on the White House table, and they gave him a 4-year broom to clean it up. And as he's cleaning that up, they're still throwing more mess in the pile that he's sweeping up. It's like every time he cleans something up and dumps the trash, somebody comes along and throws something on the floor. So how is he ever going to clean up that one thing to get to what he needs to be dealing with? And that's what I feel. Like you said, nobody put Bush under the microscope. How about this? Everybody heard the tapes of the FAA representative that said that the aviation headquarters knew of the attacks coming in and nobody was there. Everybody heard them say that there was a way they could have stopped the attacks or averted it somehow, and that Bush knew of that too. How come nobody kept that on the front page and put him on blast for that? And the first thing they wanted to do was censor Jadakiss for writing Why, the song Why. Said it was controversial. Why? Because he mentioned Bush and Towers?
And why wasn't it ever mentioned that Bush had business dealings with the Ayatollah?
That's what I'm
saying.
I'm not trying to, bring up a terrorist, nothing. I'm saying that these are examples of how it's blatantly clear that Obama was immediately, it was like, oh, my God. All right, woof, nobody said anything, so let's push it to
right.
The table. Wait a minute, the guy's in there. Okay, well, Mr. Obama, tell me what you're going to do about this. Well, he's like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? And still, he did it with confidence, he did it with charisma, he did it with persistence. I have no problem with anybody disagreeing or not liking Obama. It's not about me trying to persuade anybody's belief. And I feel in the same token, which is one of the things I brought up in the group today, is that this, the same way that you want to strongly oppose a candidate that somebody else might like, that person also has the right to strongly defend. Just as equally,
right.
It shouldn't be about you trying to bully somebody into, believing what you believe, no matter what. That's what a persuasive argument is called. You bring up all your points and stack the chips as much as you have to. But at
the end, Denzel has to be crooked before he took it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. His movie.
Why did Hallie have to top a white man before, somebody noticed her? What he was saying was those were two highly profiled, wonderful, amazing actors, and black actors, and the only time they were recognized for an Oscar was when Denzel Washington played a crooked cop and Halle Berry played a crackhead whore that was screwing a racist white man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Katie?
Go ahead.
You just mentioned about the group and whatever, and again, a person who shall go unnameless, when you get that upset and that spiral out and spaz out like that, is when you basically have nothing else no more, when people are killing you. When I broke down all the different things that I say that he's done for me. Now, if you don't have a house or you don't have any kids in college and stuff, maybe he hasn't done anything to benefit you. But let me just say this quickly, and y'all can tell me y'all thoughts quickly and just rehash on this very fact.
Yes, because we have 9 minutes left. So
let's just look at, and if we just leave it at that, just a few missing things right here. He's basically killed Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
He's directly but I found Osama bin Laden. He's dismantled Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they're still out there and so on and so forth, but he's gotten a lot of key targets on that from the international standpoint. Again, health care, when five presidents, maybe even more than I know of, five presidents tried to get health care, and then all those different things that I mentioned, too, about that have benefited me directly, but if anybody else may not have those things, maybe it hasn't benefited them. But I'm just saying, he has done things. So that's why I said, when you hear a whole lot of them be talking about that, he hasn't done nothing, that tells me that they're ignorant, for one, and two, they really don't know how government function and don't follow, and that they really expected him, like I said, to hand out vouchers to every black person when he came into office. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that jokingly. There are many of them that feel that. He ain't done nothing for me. Man, black people should this, black people that. You know what I mean? Like, black people all of a sudden were supposed to become better educated and all supposed to be, now all have good paying, high paying jobs, and black people supposed to, black people do. Come on.
No,
seriously,
you know what? I got to cut you because there's only a few minutes left. There's one more caller coming in. But I'm going to say this. One thing I did say before the panel lit up here was this.
Yeah.
don't say that nothing was done for you. If there was opportunities put in place and you chose not to utilize those opportunities, whether you tried it and failed at it or whatever, if he gave you, more loans to choose from to go to school with and you chose not to go to school when you could have and now the expiration date has passed, if he gave you the opportunity to go be the first person in line to apply for jobs of new facilities opening and you decided to wait till the 11th hour and other people beat you to it, you can't blame the man for that. You can't blame the man for unemployment. Now, we have 7 minutes. Let me bring our last panelist in for the evening. Hold on.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who's this?
Oh, okay, yes. How y'all doing this evening? I got in late. Wow. But I heard the part now about Bin Laden. I don't know if he's dead or not because to me that's a host. I didn't see his face. I saw Saddam Hussein. I saw Gaddafi's face, but I didn't see Bin Laden's face. I think that's a host. Again, as I said last night, universal health care, that was Ted Kennedy's proposition, and Barack Obama was the one who brought it to the president, to the desk when he became president. Now, when it comes to handing out tickets for money, that's neither here nor there if he's the president. What I'm looking at is the fairness of the justice game. It's like the sister that got shot up in Washington not too long ago. But shortly thereafter that fact, a white man about 67 approached the White House with a rifle and damaged and injured one of the security guards, and he's still alive today. And you know, when them school got shot up, he goes to the school, he cries, he sends his top man over there, Eric Holder over there, probably going to make a change. Then he has some other black woman go over there, lullabying with a gospel song. But when Trayvon Martin gets killed, when other black young gentlemen unarmed get killed, we don't have that same justice. You know, and that's what's sad. That's
right.
That's what's sad.
You make a good point, my man, but let me ask you this. What do you feel? You mentioned about the lady who got killed, whatever, something in Washington, and then the white man came up with it, right? Do you believe that have anything to do with Obama?
I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question. I'm talking about the killing.
Wait, is that sound noise
coming
in?
I can't answer that question. I'm just talking about the injustice of this lady being killed. She didn't have no weapon, but this white man had a shotgun, and he shot a security
guard
at the White House. He wasn't running away from the White House. He was running into that building, and he's still alive today.
Well, yeah, no question. I won't deny that there, as far as the judicial system and the justice and whatever. I'm the first to agree with you that that's unequal.
When he first became the president, I was telling the people around the community, well, you got a man in the office, go open some doors and get some things started. No, I don't expect for him to come and give me anything. But what really broke my heart is when he told Roland Martin that blacks should not come to him and ask for reparations because he's not going to deal with it. And the Indians, the Chinese, the so-called Jews, and everybody else got reparations. But when it comes to us as people of color, it's like,
I got to stop you there, sir, because I just read something that annoyed me. Now, everybody's putting that one on Obama. How in the hell can anybody take that?
No, we're not putting it on Obama. Al Gore told the black because that if they vote for him, when he won for president, he will put reparations on his table. So,
wherever that background noise is coming from, somebody needs to work on it to get it out of there, please. I can't hardly understand what he's saying.
That was a lie, Al Gore told.
He said if we vote, if we get him in the office, he will put reparation on the table.
Al Sharpton said,
why should we have to wait for you to become president?
Why is you?
First of all, let me tell you my speech about reparations. I know it ain't on my end, y'all. Because I'm sitting by myself or whatever. I know it ain't on my end.
Okay.
It's not on mine either.
Rod, I muted you, but you only got a few minutes anyway, so.
Let me say this real quick, then I'll talk fast. You like to talk fast. As opposed to reparations, me, myself, yeah, if there was any way they could it was feasible and they could give blacks some kind of reparations or something, yeah, not that I would be against it, but I don't think it's feasible, first of all, because...
Brother, let me tell you something. Everybody, even the so-called Jews got reparations. The Indians, the Chinese, everybody got it. But you don't want freedom. You want to stay here with your... You want to keep begging them for food, clothing, and shelter. So I don't, that's up to you, and that's for you. I want something I can call my own.
I was going to make a point. My point is that we as a people are too undivided. And
Oops.
Black people.
Ms. Barnett?
Yes.
Are you going to be at Roseland December the 7th?
Possibly.
Okay. I want my picture taken this time again.
Let's just say they gave us reparations, and they gave us black people's land and stuff for us to build
That was not reparations. That if we voted, they told us if we vote for Democrats, they would give us 40 acres of mule. That was not reparation. Let's not mix the two together.
One second. Let me just interject because there's not much minutes at all here.
Yes, ma'am.
How on earth are we going to be able to fight for reparations when all these articles that are coming up are black people talking about how we shouldn't get it because it wasn't the slave master's fault. It was our own fault. We just talked about this yesterday, Henry Louis Gates, a historian.
And the brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa has apologized for their input into that on the time that we had the first anniversary back to Africa with the Minister Farrakhan.
Exactly.
A matter of fact, they are receiving us back today. You see what I'm saying?
What do you think they're going to do? They're going to sit there and say, well, the Africans took blame for it, so go to them for it. Am I right?
No, ma'am. It didn't start it like that. Now we got to step back. I got a book here right now by
God,
you with 10 men, and the title is called
Hold
The
Unexpected.
Okay, sister. Thank you. We'll try to call in earlier, okay?
Because it's
yes,
time
my
to go.
Apologies. I apologize.
No, you got to try to call in earlier so you have more time to talk on. All right, guys, thank you very much for coming in. We are running down past our credits. Deacon, Larry, Rod, I didn't mean to mute you, but I had to. There was background noise. Mark, for sure, thank you. All of you for coming in and giving me your wonderful insight and input. Anyway, guys, first of all, Bloomberg, mind your business. And stop trying to point fingers when you clearly got four pointing back at you. Obama is not doing such a bad job. Whatever he's on the hook for, fairly, that's what you should be judging his leadership by. Not anything else. In the meantime, internal disrespect is not doing anything but making this man's job impossible. And if that's your way to do it, you're just shutting everybody down, including yourself. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Fight for your rights and open up your eyes to the little things that make the big things happen, too.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
God bless all of you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, too.
All right. Bye.
Night.
Have a good night. Yes.
On the edge, real talk about real issues.